Namaskaram, dear listeners. This is Karuna Munshi welcoming you to another episode of Tryst with Divinity. Tryst with Divinity is our ongoing series of conversations with Baba's devotees from around the globe. Under the spotlight today is Miss Rani Java of Bangalore, India. This interview was recorded at the Radio Sai Studios on September 30th, 2013. Please enjoy. Sairam Sister Rani, and a very loving welcome to Radio Sai.
Sairam Sister, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity.
Oh, we are honored to have you in the studio. Your family has such a rich and long association with Baba, and we are very keen to capture as many stories as possible. So it's very kind of you to have joined us today. And to begin with, Rani, your life is so completely intertwined with that of Bhagwan and His grace. And I understand when you were a baby, a servant of your family almost left you at Swami's feet as though he was abandoning you there. Why? What happened? What's that about?
I was just 5 years old, and one fine day suddenly I couldn't get up, and my parents were not at home, and my parents, when they came back, my servant said that something is wrong with Rani. So they checked up and they found that I could not stand.
Till then you were a healthy child?
A very, very healthy child. An absolutely healthy child. Then they took me to the hospital, and it was diagnosed as polio, right side paralysis. So they were a little bit worried. At the same moment, Swami had come to Bombay, and he had come to my uncle's house at Malabar Hill. So I was sitting in a corner over there because I could not move, and I got attracted towards Swami, real attraction towards him.
And do you remember what year that might have been?
1959.
Oh, wow.
And then later on, my father wanted to get me operated because the doctor said that it's better she gets operated, otherwise it'll spread to the left-hand side. So my father said, okay, and being an industrialist, he got doctors from Switzerland, the best doctors, to operate on me. But as my parents say, I was reluctant. I wanted to have the blessing of that Guru Baba who I had seen at Malabar Hill.
So may I ask the name of your uncle? Whose house you saw him at?
Mr. Java, Mulchand Java.
Mulchand Java.
So when my parents saw I was persisting that I wanted to
little
go there.
Little girl didn't want to miss Darshan.
No, I didn't.
Had Swami spoken to you at Malabar Hill the first time you saw him?
He gave me vibhuti.
Oh, okay.
He gave me vibhuti, okay. And he just blessed me. But then when I went to Parthi, my mother told my father, let me take her to Parthi. She's persisting to go as a child. So what harm is there? Is after all, he's a saint. We can take his blessings and go. When we went to Parthi, Swami called us. He met us. No, when we went to Parthi, my servant, Mr. Sharma, was carrying me. I could do nothing. Means I just couldn't walk. I couldn't eat. I couldn't go to the toilet. Everything was done by the doctor because it was paralysis along with the polio. So Swami, what my servant did, those days Swami used to go to the Chitravati River and speak to everyone. So the first darshan when we went over there, Swami was at Chitravati. So my servant took me and threw me at Swami's feet. He just threw me at Swami's feet. And being a child, I started crying. So Swami fired him and said, why did you do such a thing? Why did you throw her? So Swami picked me up, took vibhuti, and gave me sweets from the sand. He picked up the sweets and gave me. He said, eat the sweets and stop crying. And he told my servant, what is this? My servant said, Swami, she is no use. She is a girl. She is the last child. She cannot walk. She cannot do anything. She is a burden to the family as well as a burden to society. She cannot do anything on her own. So it's better she dies at your feet. So Swami was really shocked, and then he stopped me from crying. And then he called us to the interview room the next day and all that. And he said, tell your father that no operation. So my mother called up my father and she told him. He was very angry because the doctors had come from Switzerland. Swami said, no, she will not have an operation. My mother said, I can't help it. He has said no operation means no operation. So that was the first interview we had.
How was your mother so convinced that Bhagwan's advice was so
important? She's a lady. ladies understand the divinity in the God much better than the men. My father was very upset. He never came to Parthi. And my mother then saw me, kept me till the doctors left India. After the doctors left India, he said, now you go back home. And he said, no problem, husband will shout, just forget it. Then my mother started bringing me very often to Swami. And you know the right side mandiram part where Swami used to have his meals.
Yes,
so we used to go upstairs there. And since I could hardly walk, so Swami, my servant used to carry me. So Swami said, you stay back, and he used to send all the children down. Then after the children went, he used to feed me his food and used to apply vibhuti every day on my leg and said, you will start walking, don't worry.
So he would feed you with his hand?
With his hand.
Rani, you're one lucky girl, oh my God.
He always kept me on his lap and fed me like a spoiler. So I'm a spoiled child.
One divine brat, I must say, yes. So you were like a 5-6 year old little girl.
5 years.
Five years old. And Swami was, he was applying vibhuti on your
every
legs.
Every day. And he said, you walk and fall, walk and fall. Then he used to tease me and say, the whole of Puttaparthi is soaked with your blood. Don't worry.
And my, because did you bleed?
Yes, I'll fall, I'll get hurt.
Okay.
My knees were always bleeding. Okay. I always had bruises on my knees. Mm. But Swami said, don't give up. And I used to. My father was very upset. He never looked at it. And he used to tell, my, you know, he used to give money to my mother also for coming from the house savings. She used to just bring me. And we used to come very often. And thanks to her, you know, she brought me so often to Parthi that till date, I still have the habit of coming to Parthi at least twice a month. That was built in me when I was a child. And slowly, I started walking. And it took me some time to start climbing stairs. If you see me, you will never realize that I went through this polio and all that. Only while walking on the step, you can make out there is a slight problem that I have to hold the
railing
and walk. So, till the fourth standard, I was studying in a convent. The nuns were very good. They never troubled me about my exams or anything. They kept my classroom on the ground floor and they said, yes, see, you go to him. He is curing you. We want to see you perfectly all right. So they never came in the way of giving me holidays or anything.
So nice. Which school did you attend?
Convent Girls High School in Bombay.
Oh, very nice.
And the nuns were very nice. They still remember me.
So you
me.
All used to fly from Bombay to Bangalore, then take a taxi and come?
No. That time I Puttaparthi, we used to come to Puttaparthi by taxi. Our first visits were by train. I told you my father never gave money.
Oh, so you would, train only came till
This Guntakal.
Okay.
And then from that Mukhapatnam by the cart.
Oh my God.
That was a horrible.
With a child with so much of mobility.
And once while crossing the tracks at Guntakal, we nearly were killed. And the engine driver was so angry, he put on the headlights and he shouted. But it was Swami who just pushed us from the track. So, and it was tedious. But I thank my servant because he was always there with me, carrying me.
So you came by train up to Guntakal and then you had to take another vehicle to come to Mukhapatnam?
Mukhapatnam, and from Mukhapatnam we used to take the cart.
And it must have been so hard on your mother to bring a child with so much of mobility difficulty.
It's only thanks to her that, you know, I have survived the whole thing.
So how long did it take for Swami, how long was the process when Swami was applying vibhuti on your legs until you learned to walk?
It was between 4 years that I started walking very well. Mm-hmm. As I told you, the classroom was in the ground floor. So it took nearly 4 years, but walking was immediately. Walking and falling was immediately. But stable walking was a little time it took.
Mm-hmm.
But climbing stairs took a bit more time.
So while your dad was upset that you were doing all this instead of letting those doctors who were imported from Switzerland to operate on you, what was his reaction when he saw the improvement in you?
Oh, he was shocked. And actually my father was a Britisher type, you know. Uh-huh. So he said, okay. And my mom said, now you have to come and thank him because he has cured your daughter without an operation. So very reluctantly he came to Swami. And when he came to Swami, you know, he used to smoke the pipe and all. And those days, they were, you know, for bath and everything, you had to go to Chitravati. There was no toilets or anything, sleeping on the sands and all that. One day he was sleeping and snoring. Swami had to come down and tell him, please tell that man to stop snoring. I'm getting disturbed. It was in that state, you know, when we used to come to Parthi. So we used to catch his dabba and take him to the river. He was so upset. Then he went to Swami. Swami spoke to him and said, "Haan, Java, you were very upset." And he said, "Yes, but Swami, thank you. You cured, you know, just like a thank you very,
very
much.
Formal,
for curing my daughter." So Swami said, "No, don't worry. She'll be all right. She'll start walking well. There's nothing to worry." She was with me in her last birth in Shirdi Sai. And she was a very close devotee of mine. So I wanted her back. So this was just an excuse. So this is not actually a scientific illness. It was just an excuse to get her back to me. So my father was very shocked. But then he was transformed.
By the way, did your parents give you the polio drops when you were little?
Yes.
And in spite of it, the illness struck
you? It was Swami Sankalp. He told my father, it was my wish to bring her. So that's why I got her back.
Did he say which devotee you were in Shirdi?
I was too small to remember.
Okay.
But I know that because I still have the habit of rushing to Shirdi every year as I have that closeness to Shirdi Sai also. And though I was coming to Parthi 6 times a year or 12 times a year, but at least twice a year I used to go to Shirdi. And whenever Swami didn't listen to me, I used to go and complain there. So it was, you know, Swami knew the link was very strong with Shirdi Baba. So then my father was transformed. My getting all right, he got transformed. And he got complete faith in Swami. And for him, everything, Swami was everything. Swami used to call him Arjun. And Swami was Krishna. We are Krishna devotees. So Swami used to tell him, "My Arjun." And anything Swami would say, my father would listen. And he was the first person to take Swami out of Parthi. Ishwarama never sent Swami out of Parthi. But Daddy, with, you know, talking to her and all that, she agreed to send Swami out. But
I guess he used his British charm to convince her it was safe to take him out.
And he had a lot of, because being an industrialist, he had a lot of pull at the airports and everywhere. So he used to take Swami flying and he says, "Don't worry, everything will be fine." And then it wasn't, we decided to have Dharamkshetra in Bombay. And that is a time when Swami started coming very often to Bombay. At the opening of Dharamkshetra, I was one of the 7 fairies. And Swami was very, very happy. And he said, "Okay, take me around the house." We took him around the house. He says, "Bless every nook and corner." So we did that. Then he said, "Why are you not coming to my bedroom? That also needs blessing." So then we went upstairs to Swami's bedroom, took him to his bedroom. And he gave us sweets. And he said, "Now your work is done, go." So we had the opportunity of going up to his bedroom. And I was very naughty. Very naughty. In Vrindavan, my job was to stand outside Swami's bedroom door and drive away the monkeys.
Did they come all the way into the house? The monkeys?
Yeah. There were a lot of monkeys in Vrindavan. A lot. And the only job I had was to sit out and drive
away. Nice job.
Yeah. And then he used to come from the back and, you know, tap on the back. I was so much concentrating on the monkeys, I never realized. And he used to enjoy scaring me. He'll come and tap on the back and say, "I've caught up." So then it was, you know, I was very naughty. And I never treated Swami as divinity at that stage of my life. I took him as my best friend. I never saw the distinction of, you know, divinity, God or anything, because he never acted like that. He always was so kind and so loving, don't ask. It was always love. I hardly stayed with my parents. In those days, the airfare to Bangalore was only 125 rupees return ticket.
From Bombay to Bangalore. Wow.
And being
but that was a lot of money in those days.
Yeah, it was. But my father had the money, so it
and
was.
And now he wasn't upset about
Swami. And now he was in the Samiti. They started the Samiti.
Okay. So he was on your side.
Yeah, he was on my side. So he said, okay, you can go. Then what Swami, that time, you know, we used to come to Puttaparthi and Swami used to take, Swami was very fond of my brother. It's only thanks to my brother that I've had the opportunity to be so close to Swami.
Why do you say that? Why not Dad? Is it yourself?
Dad was, you can say, in the organization, so, you know, discipline, rules and regulation and all that. But for us, both brother and sister, it was playtime with Swami, so we never saw to all that part. So Swami treated us together always. And he said, first we used to come for the vacations, then Puttaparthi was being renovated to this new Puttaparthi. 9 years it took for changing the old Puttaparthi into new Puttaparthi. So when this was happening, he was staying in Vrindavan. So then he said, don't come only on the vacation, come on the long weekend. So if there was a holiday Friday, we used to fly Thursday night and come back on Monday for school. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday we spent with Swami. Actually, I never saw parents' love because I never stayed with them. I stayed more with Swami. And I got all the love from Ishwaramma, from the two sisters, Parvatima and Venkatamma. They loved me like anything. In 1968, when Swami went to Africa, he had left Amma at a house in Bombay. So that was a time where I got a chance to speak to Swami on the phone because he called his mother from there. And actually she was not sending him because Swami had curly hair. So she was very scared, you know, that Africans also have curly hair, Swami's dark, you know, he'll get lost. So she wanted my father to go. And Swami said, no, who will take care of you in India? I'll let Indubai come with me and let Java stay here and you stay in Java's house. So she stayed with us. And that time she saw we were five sisters and one brother. Then she realized that, you know, girls should be educated. And she decided that the Anandpur College had to come in. So the first thing she asked Swami at the airport when Swami came back, she told him, I want a promise from you that girls should be educated.
How do you think that she realized that by living in your house, your sisters were going to college?
Yeah, and we were all girls, only one boy. So she saw that, you know, we were, all of us were being educated and all that. And it's a difference having education background. So she told Swami, we don't have any college here in our place. So the girls must be educated. Mm-hmm. And she has been my backbone. Actually, when she was staying in the house, she really taught me a lot of things. We had a translator. One of our workers was a Telugu person and he used to translate everything. So when Swami came, first promise he gave his mother that, yes, I will put up a college in Anandpur. And he gave the job to my father to see for the land and everything. And then that's how the Anandpur College came. And I wanted to study, but he refused. He said, no, you can't study there. I said, why, Swami? He says, no, Java will miss you a lot. So you better be in Bombay and do your education. And he never allowed me to study in Anandpur.
Can I just backtrack? You said that when Ishwaramba was staying in your house, Swami had gone on the trip to East Africa. You got to speak to Swami on the phone. Can you just tell us a little bit more about that incident? Swami phoned from there for his mother?
Yeah, he used to speak to his mother because he used to tell her that he's fine.
What an obedient son, right?
Oh, he was a very obedient son. I tell you, I learned to respect my parents from Swami, actually. Because though I didn't stay with them, I learned to respect and, be a most obedient. My father always told me that you're the most obedient child because till they, fortunately, both of them passed away in my hands and they were very happy because I took care of them. So, everything he used to ask his mother. And whenever Swami shouted at me, I always had Ishwaramma to back up, you know. And she used to always get into trouble for firing me. So I didn't have a problem. I knew I can do anything under the sun and I won't have a...
So when you talk to Swami on the phone, what do you say? Sairam Swami or hello Swami? What
hello. Hello.
And did he say hello back?
Yeah, I always said hello. And then he taught me to say Sairam. He said whenever...
You were this convent educated with a British hangover person.
Yes.
So...
You know, he taught me everything in life, right? From wearing a full skirt with a blouse and half sari, then a full sari. And I did all this at a very young age because he was the master and he wanted it like that. Because when he went to Africa, he got saris and he said, take the sari and wear a sari.
What kind of saris did he bring you back? Those synthetic ones?
Those days it was synthetic.
But when Swami spoke to you on the phone, what did he say? What was that?
I was just to give the phone to his mother. In Vrindavan, during the daytime, because I was there the whole day, he used to make me the operator over there. And I used to pick up all the calls and tell them, yes, Swami's in town. And, you know, so one day he came and he heard me speaking. So someone was asking me about Swami's program. So Swami took the phone and he only spoke to the devotee. Wow. That poor devotee did not know. And I started laughing. Swami, he just made a sign, keep quiet, you know. And Swami spoke to the devotee, like I'll say he's one of the person over there, and said, no, we do not know Swami's program, and Swami will be there and when Swami will go. And that was the way he used to fool around. And Swami was very particular. He never wanted us to tell anything out, you know, and he used to check on that. I used to know Swami's programs too, whenever he was traveling, because Daddy was accompanying and getting the tickets. So it was like a test. Swami never wanted me to inform anyone. And then he used to say, Swami used to call me Pakoda. So he said, Pakoda, tell me what the ladies are planning. Mm-hmm. And I used to say,
how they are planning my program.
Yeah. So I used to give Swami all the details. Mm. But I never ever told them what date he was traveling or by which flight he was traveling.
Was it hard to keep it all inside?
No. Because I trusted him more than I trusted the others. So it was
smart,
not
difficult. Girl.
Because I think I found that Swami and his family was more my family than the other people. So whatever he said was order for me. But I used to always question him also.
Like what?
I was wanting to go to Badrinath. Mm-hmm. And Swami said, no, you can't go, because in our family, whoever went, on the way they passed away. None of our family members could reach Badrinath. So I told Swami, I want to go. He says, but it's in your family, you have this problem. I said, so what's there? You are there, no? Then I asked him, why you went? Why did you take your mother and go? So then he kept quiet. So then he said, okay, you go. And he gave me permission to go. I traveled to all the centers. I told Swami, I want to see the creation. I want to see all the holy places. I want to feel the vibrations. So he never stopped me. He allowed me to go. And my father used to be very upset and scared, because he was like Arjuna. If Krishna said it's night, it's night. Mm-hmm. If it's day, it's day.
No questioning.
Because he told me, Rani, Swami can change it. Why are you questioning him? I said, no, I don't know. But I will not accept. If it is wrong, it's wrong. If it is right, it is right. But I have to tell Swami. So then Swami told my father, she has that type of a relationship, so it's fine. There's no problem. You're Arjun and Krishna. She is my friend, so she can tell me. And he was very possessive and very particular with whom I made friends.
Mm. So any guidance he gave you? Tell us.
No, he said, don't talk to this person, talk to that person. That person is not good for you and all that. And actually, he never wanted me to talk to anyone. He only wanted me to concentrate on him. So I hardly
God
had
God is our true friend in the end. Yeah, he's the only friend we have.
He says, whatever you want. I was very fond of going to the movies every week. So he stopped one of my very close friends. And she says, Swami, but Rani goes every week for a movie. So Swami says, she sits in the theater. She says, Sai Ram. And she's just 3 hours. She's lost in the movie. After she comes out, you just ask her the name of the movie. She will not know. It's just a 3 hours. She's lost in that world, what she's seeing. But if I ask you, you will tell me what earring that lady was wearing, which sari she was wearing. So that's the difference. And he never stopped me. He never ever stopped me. He said, you continue what you like. And even when I travel abroad, you know, like whenever I travel, the seat next to me is empty, because he's always there with me. Travel Corporation of India was my travel agent, and he used to say, Rani, you're really cheating the government. You're buying one ticket and 2 seats. Because they all knew I traveled all alone, everywhere. And Swami was always making the itinerary. He used to change the itinerary nearly 10 to 20 times and decide finally what he wants me to do. Mm-hmm. And I used to do. And he used to make me travel alone. If you were a group of five, he would see that some or the other four fell sick or someone in the family fell sick and all had to cancel. And I used to go alone.
And there would be invariably an empty seat next to you.
Always, till date.
Mm-hmm. Which class do you fly?
Ordinary economy.
Normally those flights are packed.
No, but then too. So Swami is there. When he makes the itinerary, it's he's there. And I've never missed him. See, when we were small, Swami had given us this opportunity that we both, brother and sister, attend every interview.
Meaning other people's
interview? Other people's interview. The only work we had was to sit and massage Swami's feet. And then, pull his fingers and,
toes, huh?
No, fingers,
or
toes.
The hand?
No, toes. And, get the sound out and all.
Oh, like crack his knuckles.
Crack his knuckles. Okay. And we should not be listening because you were never interested. So our job was that.
How old were you and your brother at that time?
We were quite young. Like, I stopped this from the age when I became big, say about 15, 16, then I asked Swami. Swami, now is enough. Because that time I could not understand. So it was very easy, walk into the interview room and do this job and come out, But when I became big in Puttaparthi, people ask, what did Swami say? What did Swami say?
Difficult situation.
Yeah. So I said, Swami, people keep questioning me. What was Swami saying? And I find it very odd. So Swami said, okay. Then I said, Swami, instead of the interview, can you give me the inner view? So I was very young that time. So he said, that's fine. I said, you will be constantly with me. Why will you have this pleasure of serving you, pressing your feet? I would like you to be with me whenever I want you. You should be there 24/7. So he said, okay. And then he had already taught me how to do japam and meditation. Then he got me into developing the inner view. And I think from the age of 16 or 17, I started having a direct contact with Swami through the interview. And if there was anything like professional or anything, that my father used to ask Swami the questions and answer.
And your brother also continued to serve? What is your brother's name, Rani?
His name is Om Java.
Om Java.
Yeah, Om Java.
And brother Om Java must have continued for longer than you?
No. When we were young that time, I used to feel very jealous because Swami used to take him for more holidays and the only work I had was on the return journey.
Okay.
Going to Horsley Hills, coming to Puttaparthi. Utti, of course, I was the whole time alone without my brother. But my brother used to sleep in Swami's room and Swami used to take real good care of him and all that. So I used to feel very jealous at that moment. So I told Swami, you are very unfair to boys. For boys, you allow them, and for girls, you just keep us apart. Then he said, no. I said, I'm going to cut my hair and wear a pant and come. He said, no, don't do that. Girls remain longer with Swami. Boys leave, and I have to attract them. That's why I shower all this love on them. And it was a fact. One of the incidents, I'll tell you, this is a very funny incident. Swami wanted me to become thin. So we stayed 2 kilometers away from Whitefield, Vrindavan House. So Swami said, you come walking, I'll wait for you at the gate. I'll give you 2 glucose biscuit. So, to get the 2 glucose biscuit, I used to walk.
2 kilometers?
2 kilometers.
1 biscuit per kilometer.
I used to reach there, Swami used to give the biscuit. I used to eat that. As soon as Swami went, Ishwaramma used to come. And she used to take me to the dining room. And she says, how can you survive on 2 biscuits? She used to give me idli and dosas. And hardly she used to finish giving me idli and dosa. Parvati Amma and Venkatama would come. Auntie Poonam Chand and Auntie Ratanlal has made beautiful North Indian breakfast. Have some puri bhaji. I used to have 4 breakfast. 1 at home, Swami's 2 biscuits, Amma's and the sister's. One day Swami came. He said, I'm wondering why you're not reducing. We are having 4 breakfast. I said, Swami, what to do? They are forcing. You see, they're not leaving me. They're holding me tight and they're making me eat. So that was the way, I was really naughty. Too naughty for words. So Swami says, he gave up. He says, no, you will not reduce at all. You will remain like that. So he kept my name Pakoda only. So I said, okay, I'm fine with the name Pakoda. I have no problem.
That's so interesting. Such a divine darling you've been. Now, once Swami cured you, you just had a little strain of the physical disability, like only on steps and stuff. So you were able to go through schooling and college normally?
Yeah, everything very normal. Because His Grace was there. I told you all through school I came to Swami.
And those nuns were cooperative?
Cooperative. And my education was also His wish. Like He decided what I had to study and what I didn't have to study. So I had no choice. It was all His choice. Once I went against His choice, when the Vrindavan College was being made,
mm-hmm.
So Swami asked me, Kalyan Mandap, that small garden, He asked mm-hmm. me to make that garden. So I did that work. So He told me that, see, you've done very good job of the garden and you're a very good cook, because whenever Swami took the boys out for the picnic to the hills or anything, He used to just give a call and say, make food for my boys, because, you know, being in Bombay, make like sandwiches, chuda and pakoras and everything. He says, just make for 50 boys, you know, or 100 boys.
You had a residence in Bangalore as well as in Bombay.
Yes. We had our place, that's known as a summer house, mm-hmm. where we used to come. We have a factory which was given by Swami to my brother on his birthday. It was in 65, Swami presented that land to my brother on his birthday, and built, it was actually a temple which was converted into a factory, the Joy Ice Cream factory at Whitefield. So we used to come there, and every year for the anniversary, Swami used to come to the factory and come to the house. When He used to come to the house also, we used to have good fun. Because He was always still, you know, He used to come all of a sudden. So first thing, push Him for having a wash, and then fast preparing, because Swami was very fond of pakoras. So preparing things and all that. And I was always with Swami till my mother was doing. And Swami used to, even it's, you know, on the wall, you do all those animals and all that. He used to keep me busy with that.
Oh, like shadow?
Shadow.
Okay. With fingers you do those finger work.
Yes. On the wall. And by the time mommy was preparing something, because we had to give time to my mother, because He used to just come suddenly.
Unannounced
He used to come.
What language did He speak to all of
Hindi?
You?
Hindi. Hmm. And he also knew our language. Actually, to be very honest, I'm actually a Sindhi. But I know not a single word of Sindhi, thanks to being always with Swami. So I don't even look like one. People think I'm a South Indian, but I'm very happy about it. I did learn to speak Telugu. I wrote a letter to Swami. And in Vrindavan, He made fun of my letter.
You wrote in Telugu script?
I wrote in Telugu. And He made fun. I was so upset. I told Him, never again am I going to speak or take the trouble of learning Telugu. So till date, when I meet His sister-in-law, Jankiram's wife and his other sister-in-law, all they tell me, they start talking Telugu. I say, no. Till now I have not learned to speak Telugu. So speak to me, and I speak to them in Hindi and all that. They say, why? I said, you know what happened in Vrindavan.
With your letter. But what did you say about Swami knowing your language, Sindhi?
My father, Swami, had initiated us in the Gayatri Mantra. So he asked Daddy to write it in his dialect. So my father was writing. So Swami corrected. No, this is not the word. You to write it like this.
Sindhi has a script?
Yeah. My father was writing in Urdu.
Urdu, yes.
So
Urdu.
Swami corrected him that it's not like this.
And
my father never knew Hindi.
Okay.
He did not know a word of Hindi to write or read. And he only spoke Hindi, but he knew only English. He says, English is my language. But he got changed completely.
From a British sahib, he became a real Hindustani.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and like, I was really shocked also. Like, you know, my father changed such a lot. And I was very happy.
This sounds very intriguing. I only know of for the first time I'm hearing from you, and I only know one other person, Lily Auntie, the sister of Rani Ma, Rani Subramaniam, who have served Swami at such close proximity, two ladies.
Okay.
Now, when you did all this and your brother was so involved, did you remember you were dealing with God, or was it just...
No. I never. The question came of the Lord and divinity and all was only after I attended the summer course in 1972.
You discovered, oh my God,
it was so late. I discovered that time that, you know, Swami is God. Otherwise, He was my family member. I was His family member. like whatever he got for his family, he gave me. It was, you know, he never treated me separate. I never got love from my parents. I got love from his family. So I never thought that it was something.
You were an honorary member of the Raju family?
Yeah, absolutely. All of us, the children, we all grew up together. And my sisters got white patches, one of my sisters. So my father told Swami, why don't you cure her? He said, no. She will surely get married, but she will become normal. And she was worried about her marriage. Swami said, don't worry.
Yes, she had.
So Swami said, don't worry. And my sister was always worried about that part. And it so happened that she got married. Her children don't have any of those things. And she's turned fully white. She's in one color. She doesn't have those patches. Mm. So Swami said, I'll help her to complete her karma. And if I cure her now, then she'll have this again in the next birth. So Swami told us that we have to fight our karma. He says, let's not believe in miracles and get things done, because then again next birth you'll have to suffer it.
In your case, it was divinely inflicted problem,
yes,
for a reason.
For a reason.
Yeah, not because of karmic.
That's how
baggage.
He explained to my father. Mm-hmm. Because when my father came to thank Swami about me, he said, Swami, my other daughter has got this problem.
And now that you had a family physician at your disposal, you wanted to bring out your problems.
Yes, exactly. And there was a time when... Of course, my sister was worried, but she's now very happily married with children and grandchildren and all.
Good for her. Tell me about this story about Swami presenting your brother with the parcel of land in Whitefield for the factory. I've never heard of anything like this before.
He was very fond of my brother.
Om.
Yeah, Om. And he used to really take very good care of him, like special ghee food and all that, because my brother was fond of ghee. And Swami used to arrange his bed in his room upstairs for him to sleep and all. He was very spoiled like me. Both of us were spoiled. On his birthday, Swami told Daddy that, see, I was planning to build up a temple over here. But now I got this land at Vrindavan, so I've shifted over there. This land is lying vacant. Why don't you take this for your son? I want to present it to Om. So Swami presented that land to him. And that's how we started the Joyous Skin Factory in Whitefield. And Swami used to come every year for the anniversary.
How nice. Is that where your house was also?
Yes, the house was downstairs.
Okay.
The factory was on top, the house was downstairs. And those in the beginning, we were staying in those cottages. Later on, we built our own house, but we were staying in the cottages.
Inside Whitefield?
Yeah, downstairs, yeah. Next to the Rao Insulating Company.
Oh,
of course, now everything has changed. There are no more, those buildings all have gone. So, what happened during the summer, first time I attended the summer course, and I was really thrilled, like, and as the childhood went in bhakti, full bhakti, then started my getting the knowledge of, you know, what is God and who is God. I attended, I was really like, you know, it was an awakening for me. And it so happened that I stood first in the exam. So, and Swami used to come every day to me, because I should not look at him. I should be busy writing. I can't write running. I write print. The only defect which I had, I have a beautiful writing, but it's in print. I cannot write running. So Swami used to make fun of me. And he used to come and he used to try to distract me, but I never got distracted. I just went on writing because trying to assimilate everything, you know. And during the lunch time, he used to come and he used to tease me. And Muni, the principal of the school, used to always sit next to me because she said, Swami is going to come to Rani, so let me sit. And that's the time I met Muni the first time. And we were both friends. She was always sitting next to me. And Swami used to ask, how's the food and all? I said, good and everything. And I used to attend the thing. I stood first and Swami called me. He said, Pakora, if I don't give you the prize, it's all right. I'll give it to one of the students. I said, oh, Swami, no problem. It's fine with whatever you decide. So he said, I'll give you a personal prize. Why you want this thing? I said, okay. So summer course got over and it was our factory anniversary. Upstairs, we had the cake cutting and everything. After that ceremony upstairs, Swami comes to the house downstairs to have his meal. So I went to help my mother to arrange the food and heat up the food. Then Swami asked... He told me, Pakoda, when I asked him, Swami signed the photo upstairs. He says, no, I'll sign it later. So he called me and said, give me the photo. So I gave it to him. Then he asked my father, what is Pakoda's name? Because he always called me Pakoda. He didn't know my name. So my father said, Rani Lakshman Java. No, Lakshman. So he signed with love and blessings. And behind he wrote, to Miss Rani Java. And till date, you see, I am still Miss Rani Java. So it was in 72 he planned that I should remain as Miss Rani Java. And I told my father, see, Swami has given the name Miss Rani Java. So can I drop Lakshman? He said, no. He was very upset.
That's his dad's first name.
That's first name. So till he was alive, I used to call myself as Rani Lakshman Java. The day my father was no more, I changed to Miss Rani Java. No more Rani Lakshman. Because God has called me that name.
So you want to stick with God's given name.
And it was very nice. I enjoyed myself having it as Miss Rani Java. But he played his game to keep my parents happy. He must have shown more than a dozen suitors. And like every time I say, Swami, no, this is this. Swami, the marriages you've done are all not successful.
You told him that?
Yeah.
What did he say about that?
He says, what can I do? I said, yeah, then why are you putting yourself in this position? So then I said, he's too thin, he's this, he's that. I used to keep on saying. So ultimately he got fed up. He told my mother, she's having too many questions. She doesn't want to get married, let her be. So my mother says, Swami, how can she remain unmarried? Swami says, don't worry. Then in the interview, he took my hand and he said, he told, promise my mother, I'll take care of her. She doesn't have to get married. So that time we didn't realize that Miss Rani Java stands for what. I later on realized and understood that what it stands for. And I'm very happy. I'm really very happy that I didn't get entangled in all the worldly problems. And I could concentrate only on Swami.
Now, you were so frank with Swami. You know, I don't know of too many women who could talk to Swami like this. Did you ever not question him? How come his entire organization, the entire setup, are generally in the background?
Yes. Many
it's such a man's world here.
Yes. I had plenty of fights on this issue.
Tell us all about them. I'm sure our listeners would love to know what he told you.
No. I had plenty of fights on this issue with Swami.
How did that play out? What was his reaction?
He always said, no, women are, they listen to everything and they remain. I have to take care of the men. I have to boost their ego. And women don't require that at all. They blindly follow whatever I say. And they are the backbone of the family who bring up the children and all that. But I have to see to the men.
They need more attention.
Yeah, they need more attention.
Oh, don't you think he was just dismissing you by giving that theory that, you know...
He could never dismiss me.
But then did you buy into this, that men require
divine
attention?
No. I told him, I said, nay, Swami, that's not the case. So that's why he gave me the same attention.
Sairam, dear listeners, this is Karuna Munshi. You just heard part one of my interview with Miss Rani Java of Bangalore, India. This episode was recorded at the Radio Sai Studios on September 30th, 2013. We will bring you the next part of this conversation, same time, same place next week. Please be sure to tune in. Your thoughts, comments and suggestions to this interview and to all Radio Sai programs are most welcome by email at listener@radiosai.org. Thank you very much for your company and please continue to stay tuned to our next program. Loving Sairam from Prashanti Nilayam.